Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Moltec Packaging Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Nirav. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to 4Q FY22 earnings call of Moltec Packaging Limited. We have with us Mr. Lakshman Rao, the Chairman and Managing Director of the company, along with the entire finance team at Moltec. Without further ado, I would request Lakshman sir to start with the opening comments, post which we can open the floor for question and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for your patience. I'm glad to inform you that in spite of severe inflationary situation in raw material pricing, the company could maintain or rather improve the EBITDA margins during the current financial year, I mean, ending March 2022, just concluded year. Our overall revenue growth has been 31.85% over the last year, and PAT is up by 32.4%. The exact volume growth is only 11%. With 11% volume growth, we could maintain a PAT growth of 32.4%. The EBITDA per kg has also shot up from somewhere around 31.7 to 41.78 or something. Almost 5 rupees increase in the EBITDA per kg was achieved during the year due to increased sale in our food and FMCG products. Coming to the segment-wise growth in the paint and lubricants, we have seen reasonable growth in the revenues, but in the volume terms, they are still 11%-13% growth. In the food and FMCG, in the edible oil sector, where it was impacted in the first two quarters of the year, we had a degrowth of 25%. Though in the fourth quarter, there's a handsome growth of almost 60%. Overall year still registered a negative of 24% in QPAC, that is edible oil pack. Excluding that, in the thin wall section, that is food and FMCG, we have a handsome growth of 40%. This is a most positive aspect of the current year's performance, apart from a good 13% growth in paint industry numbers, volumes. This is where EBITDA margins are much higher, and that is what resulted into a sizable increase in the EBITDA margins per kg. It was the raw material price have shot up more than 30 rupees. It is 28% to be precise, from 111 rupees for the full year. 93 rupees for the full year to 120 rupees. That's almost like 30% increase in the raw material prices that we could pass on successfully to the consumers. Before you ask this question, I want to also convey to you in the current fourth quarter, consistently the prices have risen in January, February, and again in March twice, taking up the price by almost 17-18 rupees in the last quarter. Because we generally have the 1-month lag or sometimes one quarter lag in pricing, that means whatever is the pricing of January is applicable in February in March, and similarly March in April. Whatever price hike in March, we could not pass on because till April. To that effect, the profitability is reduced in the Q4. In spite of that, we ended up with a 4%-5% growth in the top and bottom lines in terms of volumes. In terms of revenues, it looks 11%-12%, or rather it is in the Q4 to Q4, 10.7%. Actual volumes, if you consider, it is around 5%. Similarly, the bottom line growth is also about 5%. The prices have started falling from April first, reasonably, not great extent, but up to around 8-10 rupees per kg, they have come down. Those benefits of March pricing will be now applicable in April, and similarly April and May. So when the downtrend, there will be a beneficial accrual to the company's P&L. So having said this, and also I want to just give a hint at April. April we have grown at around 20% on volumes, 18.9 to be precise. And in the food and FMCG also, we have noticed around 30% rise. And the prospects of ice cream, restaurant, fast food sections are beyond our expectations. So things started on a very bright note for the next financial year, that is the current financial year 22-23. So as I explained in the past, IBM project is moving as per schedule. The pilot will be ready sometime in July at our Unit 1, and the Sultanpur unit will be starting sometime in October. The OTC products production will start in July-August, but pharma sample submission and stability test will take 6 months after the trial production. So pharma may not add any numbers in this current financial year, but OTC products will add. And another good news is we have now commitments from Levers and GSK to develop some products for their new packaging products. Already molds are underway for one of them, and other two molds are just initiated. These three products put together would be adding around 25 to 30 crores to the top line in the current financial year. And in a full year, it will be to the region of 35 to 40 crores per annum. So this is a sizable addition in our food and FMCG for the current financial year and going forward. So with these trends that are positively happening for the company, I leave the floor open for questions and answers through which we can interact. Back to convener.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
The impact and protocol.
The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
J. Lakshman Rao, sir, thank you very much for nice result. You have given overall growth in the year. I am looking this company since last 6 to 7 years, and find when we attended the AGM, you display so many products in the AGM. But along with the result, you never give investor presentation in which you may show what product, new product we have introduced by the company, where is we investor, we may benefit a lot. So this is my request. If now onwards, if you can post, it will be nicely help to us. Secondly, debtors rises too much as on 31st March 22. Any specific reason behind it?
Sorry, what is the second question?
Debtors rises too much.
Debtors?
Yeah. Debtors increases too much. It was 90 crore in 31st March 21. It is raised to 143 crore.
19 crores in last year 31st has now become 143 crores.
Yeah.
I think maybe there is some typographical error.
No. It is not error. 90 crore to 143.
Oh, 90 has become 143 crores. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
90
yeah.
Is okay. Now, basically, the sales growth, if you look at the analysis, it is almost 34% or 32%.
Right.
So, obviously, when the sales grow more rapidly towards the end, as actually the billing value has increased by almost 35-36% compared to last February and March. So, that's basically raw material prices have shot up, making the debtors look ballooned.
Okay. Okay.
So that's the major reason, and of course there are a couple of reasons, like Asian Paints and others have increased their credit period during the year, which was not there.
Okay.
That is another reason for increasing the debtor. I'm taking your advice of new products introduced in FI. I will ask my people to upgrade it in the website or send one separate presentation about.
It will help definitely. Sir, second my advice is there. You have given 8 rupees dividend this year and raising equity also. So why not you pay lesser dividend and the less equity you raise? Because on dividend you have to pay 20% DDT tax also. So this is my.
Now the dividend tax is in the hands of individuals. It's no more on the company.
Okay.
So whoever receives it. In fact, if you are receiving 8 rupees this year, it is less than 7 rupees that was given last year. Because effectively you will be, many of the investors will be incurring 20 to 30% tax bracket. So they will end up receiving only maybe effectively 6 rupees or so. Whereas last year it was tax-free. And only the 10% TDS is deducted as per the norm.
Thank you very much. Mr. Naredi, I'll request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Shah from Danke Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, if you can share the fourth quarter volume numbers for the three segments, paints, lubes and FNS.
Yeah, the volume numbers of paint is for the Q4 is 4,676 tons. Lube is 2,140. Food and FMCG is around 1,580. Overall, it is around 8,400 tons. So, paint is 55, lubes is 25, and food and FMCG is 19% in the volume-wise. In the sale value-wise, paint is 52, lube is 24, and food and FMCG also is 24.
Right. Okay. And sir, you have stated about a likely 15 to 20% volume growth for the current year. So if you can throw some more light on that, which are the areas that you are expecting growth? Because for FY22, in the past we were hopeful of 32,000 volumes, but we have done a little less than 30,000. So in the current year, if you can, share some more thoughts as to where you expect, this growth to come from. And on the margins also, you mentioned that the February-March price increases will be passed in April. So the per kg margins, whether you will be able to maintain, whether you can increase this number from 42 rupees. So some thoughts on that, sir.
Certainly. See, in the volume side, I am confident because of two factors. Hopefully, one of the factors is a hope that there is no pandemic this year, assuming that the pandemic is under control, at least like what it is today. Then the basic consumption of frozen food and ready-made foods and ice creams will continue to grow, which is very evident in the months of April and May so far. And we have now three new products cleared by top MNCs for mold development, and one of them is getting ready in the month of June, maybe let's say towards the end of June. And the other two will be in the second quarter, that is sometime in July, August. So these three projects and IBM OTC products have a capacity, ability to add about 5% to the top line. Around 30 crores is what we are anticipating from these new products altogether. And food and FMCG, which is now currently at around, in volume side, at around 19% of volume, would add at least 30 to 35% growth. So that means 67% growth will come from food and FMCG sector. And in paints and lubricants, I don't generally expect major growth, though this year we got surprisingly 11% growth. Generally, we take 3, 4% or 5% growth in lubricants. The paint industry, again, we have been given an indication by Asian Paints to ramp up our capacities at Mysore and Vizag, and the indications are pretty strong.
So those two clients increase, if it happened as they promised from June, July, that will be adding to another 10 to 15% of the total, or at least effectively adding another 5% extra growth. So these three put together itself, we are seeing around 14-15% growth, and the basic growth of economy, if it continues to be even at 3-4%, will be in the bracket of 15-20. So this is what gives us confidence of a 15-20% volume growth this year. Coming to the margins, because all these three products what we are introducing along with the OTC products are high-end margins in the tune of 80 to 120 rupees per kg. So even they add 5-6%, they will be able to add considerable to the EBITDA per kg. And with the increase in volumes, our overheads will tend to be reduced a little bit. So overall volumes, I'm confident it will be definitely better than 42, but whether it can reach 44, 45 level is the internal target we set, is 45. We need to see how the price trends go on. If the raw material prices go up, what they did last quarter, very rapidly they went up. Actually, in the month of March alone, the loss to the company because of increase in March price, which has been not reflected in our pricing, it will reflect in April, comes to almost 3 to 4 crores. So, though the raw material price is passed on, there is a lag in passing. So, by the time we pass on in April, raw material price in April has come down. So, April will see that gain. May again, the price have come down. So, again, May will get the benefit of April price reduction. But if the prices start going up again, let's say from June or July onwards, and that particular quarter might get affected like what the Q4 got affected now. In spite of that effect, we have sustained a 5% top line growth and a 5% bottom line growth. But if you look at the per kg, it has come down a little bit to 39 level from 41, 42 last quarter because of this particular reason of not able to pass on the price rise as rapidly as we wish to, because there are agreements that we pass on next month. Either way, when the price come down also, we don't give them the price reduction in that month, we give it in the next month. Same thing next quarter. So hopefully the first quarter Q1 will gain if the price trend is what it is going to be. And if the price trend stabilizes, still 42, 43 is possible. If the price trend is increasing, there could be some challenge. But so I would still take 42 to 45 is a possible range given the new orders in the food and FMCG sector.
And sir, last question from my side. If you can share some names on the FNF side, I think in the last quarter you had also mentioned on the lube, you know, we had received a BPCL tender. So maybe some names where, you know, which can add to our volumes in the current year?
Yeah, Hindustan Levers and GSK, we have already more or less confirmed with them. The mold development is also being cleared by them. But the molds will be tested and all that will take time. So first one will be in June, we are hoping. The other two will be in sometime in July.
Sir, last quarter you had also spoken about Amul. So are we...
Amul is already reflected in the from April onwards, March onwards. We'll give it in March. But now full growth in Amul is being seen.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. We are unable to hear you. May I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, what I'm saying is the Amul increase has been already reflected from March onwards, and in April we have seen considerable improvement in the sales to Amul and even Hatson, that is Arun ice cream.
Okay, great. That was helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congrats on a good execution. We had added one customer in QR-coded IML. Any new sign-ups from there?
Yes, Gulf is almost cleared our QR code, and another edible oil company, a government cooperative, they have placed an order with QR-coded lids also. They want even lid to be having a QR code. So that machinery has just arrived last week for printing on the dynamic QR code on the lid. So these two clients will be supplied in this quarter, Gulf and the edible oil company.
So what is the revenue run rate we are looking from this business in FY23?
In QR coded products?
Yeah.
I'll be very happy even if you can reach at least 5 to 6% of the revenue is coming through this QR coded. That means about 30-35 crores. Gulf alone can contribute around 8 to 10 crores if they shift. They are currently shifting with one brand, and they have indicated once. Their concern is in the supply chain. All the dealers and distributors have to get into the mode of reading QR code and invoicing using a QR code, which is something new for the hardware shops in our country. So they want to first start with their premium product or the products where they are generally sold across towns and cities, and then they want to go for other products which go into villages or down further down into towns. So this experiment they are starting in the month of June, and I'm sure by July, August, once they have confidence, they will be putting in across the country. And Castrol is also taking trials once this cap molds, cap printing is done. So, but they have not indicated timelines. But Gulf has indicated they want to go from June.
And any traction with these paint companies, because that can be a big revenue driver for us in QR coded IML.
Sorry, your question is not clear.
I'm saying that any progress with signing up with any of these paint companies for QR coded IML?
No. QR coded IML, as it is, IML is still not there in most of the paint companies. So for them to go for a QR coded IML may be a little far fetched thing. But the lubricant companies are very keen because they face a lot of this duplicate markets and challenges from that duplicate markets. So they are very keen to go for it once the cap and jar is also aligned. So that machinery is something special. We have just imported a week ago for cap printing. Jar and IML reverse also is already established and supplied also. On the cap, they want printing directly on a plastic surface. So we need a special laser equipment with a dynamic QR code feasibility that's been just arrived at. So we'll be submitting samples, and probably Castrol also will initiate trials in the month of June.
Sure. And then IBM, you guided for about 38 crores of revenue in FY23, primarily for the OTC products. But maybe in the next 2 to 3 years, can it be a 200 to 300 crore kind of a revenue line for us, IBM?
Yes, our internal target is to reach at least 200 crores in 3 years, starting from October this year. Because this October, even we submit the samples of both the CRC caps and bottles, they take about 5 to 6 months to give the clearance. So effective commercial supplies of pharma bottles will happen only in the next financial year or early calendar year of 23. That's the best we can expect. So I won't be counting any numbers from IBM Pharma this year. But in the IBM other areas, we have one major breakthrough. Hopefully, we'll be getting that on hand by end of this month. And that will be the first products we'll be producing. Their orders worth around 7 to 8 crores per annum. And other products will be added once the products are established. So this year, our guidance for IBM would be in the region of 10 to 12 crores for year one. But year two, it can shoot up. Like say next year, 23, 24, both pharma will be added, CRC caps will be added, and OTC products will be converted. So something like 60 to 75 crores we can expect in the year two. That is, you can call it actually year one, because this year is more of trial production and sample submission for pharma. But 3 years down the line, that can reach a level of 180 to 250 crores. So you can take an average of 200 crores achievable 3 years down the line, say 25, 26.
And EBITDA per kg in these products would be upwards of 100 rupees, right?
Much higher than even our food and FMCG.
Also. Okay.
So once they start contributing, the numbers, overall numbers should improve.
Understood. Understood. And in terms of our press release, I read that in sweets we are seeing good export orders. So how big can this segment be maybe in the next 2 to 3 years?
See, this year probably again it's initiation, and definitely we found some good response from restaurants, confectionaries and Indian stores in USA. We are also trying for American applications, American companies or American restaurants and hotels who are now getting more and more into home deliveries. That's become a, either it is not the epidemic reason due to pandemic, but it's also become a habit. So those hotels and confectionery suppliers, wherever they need attractive packing with IML, we are pitching in. And initial success is coming through Indian stores and Indian restaurants. It's catching up. One or two which we did last year are now not only recurring, but are also new inquiries coming from other restaurants. One negative feature in the whole thing that's by otherwise by now it would have improved a lot is the freight cost, which has shot up from $3,000-$4,000 to more than $10,000 for a 40-foot container. So that is a kind of a hindrance. If they are always saying that this quarter the prices are softening a bit, but the way they have gone up is tremendous from 3,500-4,000 range. They are currently still at around $9,000-$10,000 per 40-foot container. So once, if the freight prices stabilize, even at least around 5,000-6,000, there will be much more savings for the people who are importing from us, and there could be a good jump. So that is one deterrent. Otherwise, we are confident about decent numbers.
So this will primarily be an export market for us, right?
Sorry?
This product will be primarily for exports, right? Or we are also looking at domestic client additions?
No, no, no. These are the products which are already there in India. We are selling to our Indian clients. The standard containers for ice creams, the containers for confectionery, sweets, you know, all kind of, including even the one of the inquiries you will be, it is for the dough for idlis and dosas. In US, they sell it in containers with a sticker and all. Now we are giving with IML. So we are about to, they need about 1 million pieces a month. So that's a kind of, applications are similar like what we are doing in India. And there's no need to invest on new set of molds. We need to, from the same molds and same robots, we can produce. So to cater to these increased demand in IML food containers, we are almost doubling our printing capacity. We have placed 2 order machines for 2 more flexo machines. They are arriving, one in July, August, and one in December. So by next year, we want to almost, if not doubling, 70% increase in our IML printing capacity we are creating, so that that should not be a deterrent in meeting our customer schedules and exports.
Sure. And lastly, sir, on the pump business, is there any update? You are looking at new sign-ups like Himalaya, Cadenzer, any updates?
Yeah. With Himalaya, we have progressed. Trial lot has been given. But commercial production, you know, they are also very much stuck with drop in volumes. So, but we are now inching up at least 50 to 60 lakhs rupees per month sales we are achieved in this quarter. And hopefully it will touch about 1 crore per month in the coming quarters. Wipro, who is supposed to start their Hyderabad unit in a full-fledged manner by now, again they postponed, as I told you, last quarter to December 22. They have committed 2 million pieces. That's worth around 1.2 crores per month revenue. If that comes through only, I see a big jump in pumps. Otherwise, this year would be limiting our sales to a level of around 8 to 10 crores.
Okay, okay sir. Thanks for your answers and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Nirav Savai from Abacus Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just wanted to understand your view on this EPR regulations which are going to come FY24 onwards, and how do we see demand side post these EPR norms?
Yeah, we are getting ready for that. Actually, the recycling plants in India have now developed to an extent of almost equal to the international standards. Their products, some of them are claiming even food safe. And companies like Hindustan Lever have approved a couple of products in PET, and they are also examining polypropylene for food applications. So if that reality, if that really happens, we are in touch with them, and we are also even experimentally buying some quantities of recycled polymers from three, four reputed companies who have come up in couple of them in South, couple of them in Haryana area, North area. We found that success in the initial trials, which are not affecting the quality nor the dimensional stability. The problem in the previous uncleaned, or I would say unseparated recycled material was, it was impacting the physical characters or mechanical characters of the containers, including the dimensions, which is now not the case. The cleaning is happening up to the polymer level. So it's not that just grinding and washing and making a polymer out of it. I believe the new system is to go to the polymer level and then clean the whole mix or whatever added in the scrap, and then create the pellets out of it. So in this process, they are reaching almost 99%, 98% characters of the basic resin. So adding even 30-40% is what they say, at least, is possible without impacting the qualities, mechanical and dimensional qualities. So it is very encouraging, and with these new reprocessing techniques that have come in, adapting to those norms is not a big challenge for a containers manufacturing company like us. The film and other packaging lines will continue to have challenges, because in film collection, the recycling is still a big challenge. And contamination in film collection or contamination in the garbage, because the film is generally thrown and it's difficult to collect, is going to be a challenge for the film companies, film packaging companies. But I think for a containers company like us, with the advent of this new techniques of reprocessing, we are able to easily meet the norms.
Right. So beyond FMCG companies, you also see this going into lubricant companies and...
No, paint and lube is already started. In the case of paint, Asian Paints have come out with a couple of brands where it is mandatory to mix 10 to 12% of RCP, recycled plastic, and submit to them. And already been last 1 year, 1.5 years, we have been supplying, and now the increase from 7-8%, they have accepted to go for 10-12% increase in the recycling. And everybody is testing. One or two brands are testing. They want to check the, is the mechanical properties are not really not affected. It's happening. And we have already collaborated with three, four RCP companies, reprocessing companies.
Okay.
I've given them a lot of guidance, and over the last 1.5 years, our relations with them also grown. And they have committed their capacities as per our requirements.
Right. Also on the food grade side, there are companies in India who have been doing it?
They are claiming, but we have not yet tested, we are not used. Yeah. We are using only our internal recycled plastics in them with their permission, because there we have complete control on the contamination. For outside, unless the client clears them, we can't buy and use. To tell you very frankly, companies, big companies like, I don't know much about Mandelez, but GSK and HUL, and their R&D team I met recently, they are working on PET to start with, and they found PET, completely recycled PET, can be mixed with a few food-grade bottle manufacturing, which is a major breakthrough. And according to them, even on polypropylene copolymer, which is our major raw material, they are finding some companies progressing to give food-grade RCP.
Right. Got it. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Martin from EAM. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Laxman. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations to you and the team on some great numbers. I'm wondering if you could repeat the 15 to 20% volume growth that you're expecting for the upcoming year, where that's coming from. I believe you might have addressed it earlier, but I could not make out what's being said on the call. Thank you.
Yeah. Martin, we are assuming this numbers growth based on an assumption that there won't be a return of pandemic. As I mentioned earlier, maybe you missed it, we have 3-4 new FMCG products of decent volume and numbers, which we have initiated mold development coming into production from June and August, between June and August. These products put together along with a OTC product and IBM, we expect sales of about 30 crores for the current financial year. And that might go up to a total of 40 crores per annum in the next financial year, because this year I'm counting only on 8 to 9 months. So that's a sizable increase in our food and FMCG line. And we also have been instructed by Asian Paints to ramp up capacities at Vizag and Mysore, which we are doing now. And our plant at Kanpur has reached 1,000 tons per annum kind of production. That's about 80-85 tons we did in April. And going forward, Berger is asking us to start production and supplies from July, August for this year. And they are committing about 70 to 80 tons per month. So our Kanpur plant, which was last year hardly contributed around 200-300 tons, will be contributing about 1,200 to 1,500 tons. So that's about another 4 to 5% growth. So we are seeing 8% growth coming from Kanpur plant and these new products in food and FMCG. And Asian Paints growth in Mysore and Vizag, we anticipate to bring in at least another 3 to 5%. So these three new initiatives would be bringing us something around 12% growth in the in addition to our regular growth of about 5 to 8%, which we expect in the economy. Because the paint industry generally grows 10 to 12% every year, a normal year. And food and FMCG, last year we have seen 40% growth. And that itself, another, let's say even 30% growth we get this year on a 18-19% is another 4-5%. So if things go well and economy is at least stays where it is today, we should be able to reach our goal of 20%.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj Shah from the Lalan Brocha Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just had one question. That the realization per kilo for this quarter has dropped. So I wanted to know what was the reason for it, because even our EBITDA per kg has come down. So what would be the reason for this drop?
Yeah, Virat. As I explained to you, maybe you missed it, our pricing strategy is always passing on the previous month price to the next month billing. So whatever price rise in the month of March, we realize only in April. And in the case of Asian Paints, which is one of our largest customers, it is quarterly basis. That means October, November, December average price will be applied for Jan, Feb, March. So these two itself impacted more than 4 crores to the bottom line. That is effectively decreased our EBITDA by almost 3-4 rupees. So otherwise this would have been even 43-44. It is now 39.11 as against last year number of 41.88. So this would have been 43 level had we, at least the March remained, March raw material remained at February level, we could have saved this money. So now thankfully the price have come down in April and also May. So this quarter will get the benefit of increased billing value, because March pricing will be built in April. April raw material price will be built in May. And similarly, Jan-Feb-March quarter average price will be billed for Asian Paints and one or two other clients in this quarter of April, May, June, where the price has come down. So, as I always say, in a uptrend, the last month will always get hit in the profitability. In a downtrend, whichever maybe 2 rupees or 3 rupees coming down, that will be gained during the quarter in a reasonable manner, if not very big way. So that is a major reason why this drop in EBITDA to 39.11. But the overall year, we ended up with 41.78 against 36.72. That is about 5 rupees increase in the EBITDA margin, which is very considerable in this, given the price scenario.
Understood. Thank you. That's it. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So this first question was on the whole EPR norms. What is the percentage of recycled material that you need to use and by what date?
It was basically the responsibility lies with the users of containers, that is Asian Paints or Lube or FMCG companies. But the processes, sizable processes are also have to fall in line and show proofs of utilization to the level of 20 to 25%. The industry is still trying to negotiate in the injection molding and blow molding. It may not be a big issue, but in the film industry, it will be very, very difficult for them to meet the norms. So currently, I think what it was set for 24-25 is 20% reuse.
And this is by 1st April 2024, what is the date?
I'm not very sure about the date to review that. Okay. It has been gradually given as a, in next 2 years.
And
we are already using around 7-8%, and more and more companies are allowing us, or in fact are requesting us also to start giving trial lots, so that they can mix the, they can check the containers for their mechanical properties and dimensional tolerances. So there is a change in the way people are looking at RCP, and as I explained in the previous to the previous question, a lot of new RCP techniques have been adopted by some companies, and they are giving really good quality polymer after recycling, which can be definitely used more than 20% in pails, that is paint and lubricant containers, which consume, which in our consumption contribute almost 75 to 80% in the weight. So using 20% overall RCP would not be a challenge by the time these norms are to be adopted.
Right. And but by then, if the industry has to move in this direction, do you think the cost of that recycled material can actually shoot up quite a bit, because maybe the sourcing of that is yet not in place?
Actually, the RCP material is marginally cheaper than the virgin polymer.
That is at this point, sir, but at that point it will be mandatory. So everyone has to use it.
I don't think so, because they always benchmark the virgin material minus some X percentage. Not much. The, as you are seeking more and more clarified material, the delta is hardly about 5-10%. Initially, it used to be 20-30% cheaper, but now it's come down to around 10%, and it is staying there. And obviously, the mindset is that RCP is, after all, made out of scrap material they collect and generate. And with the increased tendency and collection of this material happening in an organized manner, availability of RCP will be there. And the mandate is not 100%, it's 20%. So I don't think there will be a big challenge on price increase of RCP.
Understood. So from a long-term perspective, I'm presuming they may start with 20% and then go to 30 and 40, etc. Do you think getting into sourcing of this makes sense, or you know, from a long-term perspective, as a barrier to entry, or would you rely on external vendors?
It's better to be careful, and we are establishing our relations with already 3 major vendors in the country,
and we are being given the first allotment of material. So as of now, there is no such desperation, even with more and more companies are adopting this recycling material. There is still a lot of excess capacities available, and some huge plants are coming up is what I heard from Chinese technology or Japanese technology. That's what I heard. And those volumes will be definitely able to cater for next 4 or 5 years. But how it goes on beyond, I don't see a big challenge. And nobody can enforce beyond 20-25%. I don't think 100% recyclability of plastic would ever happen.
Okay, fine. So, next question was on exports. I mean, you mentioned about freight prices going up. But in the current scenario, I mean, given that China provides a large chunk of the raw material to the US on this front, their freight prices must have also shot up, right? And also they are going through a lockdown in Shanghai. So isn't that throwing in an opportunity for you? I mean, a lockdown there plus their freights also going up?
No, not only lockdown in China, but also China plus one strategy is now well imbibed in American minds. I could see in a couple of calls I had with a couple of agents who deal with imports from China and Asia. And their mindset is certainly affected by the recent developments and reduced belief on Chinese as a single source. So definitely even with an extra price from India, they would like to keep us as a second source. And that tendency and that kind of inquiries are increasing in number. Because even these exports, what we are doing to US today, they are in place of their Chinese suppliers. So going forward, I see that more and more trend of China plus one concept in even plastic containers, IML containers especially. Because in USA, manufacturing costs are very high. And with IML, the costs shoot up beyond even the landed cost from India at this, even at this price, freight cost. But if the freight cost goes up too much, there is less, you know, incentive for the people to import from India or China. So that's what I'm worried about. It's not Chinese competition. If the price is too much, they might as well produce in US. So, or buy from US sources. But I think the freight cannot stay there forever. It was very unusual. They've gone almost 300% up. Not recently, it's gone up for last more than a year now. It is now trending down from 10,000-11,000, it's now around 9,000. Hopefully it will settle down at around 5,000-6,000 by end of this year or beginning next year. Then exports become very, very viable.
Right. So how big could the segment be, sir, in 3 years for you?
If the freights are like this, this can be a kind of like, say, I don't think it will be more than 10% of our sales. Even if we can reach 5-10% in 3 years, it will be a good achievement. One area where I can see that number can be beaten is our CRC caps, which we are starting in October, but they become really available for supply from next March. So that CRC caps is a, US is a huge importer of CRC caps, and once that range of products are available in our product portfolio, we'll be able to get more and more inquiries and orders, especially with a much higher value add.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akhil from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on overall a good set of numbers.
Akhil, sorry to interrupt you. You are not audible. Can I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Sure. Is it better?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Lakshman, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers for FY22. My first question is on the free cash flow generation. If I look at last 6-7 years, so we have done tremendously good in terms of sales growth, in terms of capacity addition, even in terms of operating cash flows. But because of continuous need of the business to invest in CapEx, the FCF has continued to be extremely weak for last many years. So at what capacity levels should we feel confident that the FCF generation will continue to be healthy for the business?
Which generation? Sorry, your voice broke.
I'm saying, I'm saying at what capacity level should we expect a healthy free cash flow generation?
See, free cash flow even today is healthy, and we have, in spite of a heavy dividend payout, we still have cash generation which is covering our capital needs till now. But as I discussed with you all in the last couple of meetings or phone calls, going forward, the investments in IBM and pharmaceutical and the new plants at Kanpur and probably one more in North, expanding Mysore and Vizag and expanding our tool room and printing facilities would be requiring much higher cash flows, something like to the tune of 200 crores in the next two and a half years. So that is where we made the QIP recently. And with that, we are completely cash flow, I mean, comfortable. There is no negativity in the cash flows anticipated. Actually, in the short-term debts and long-term debts now are just one of the very cheap foreign loans are what we are carrying. So the total debt has come down from 108 crores to 44 crores now. And that also we wish to repay some of that, but these are coming at very low forex loans. So the closer costs are higher than carrying, so we are continuing that. And going forward, the outflows to set up these projects are increasing. They are little lagging because of the building construction is taking place at Sultanpur, and orders are being placed for machines. But the Sultanpur building is coming out in a more than 130,000 square feet RCC area with good GMF facilities. Half of it is beyond GMP. It's actually drug master file DMF standards. And half of the area is for our food and FMCG confiling to FSCC standards. So this plant construction is somewhat time-taking. We started 4 months ago, and I think it will take at least another 7-8 months. Or maybe at least 6 months. By October, November, we wish to start our FSA production there. And DMF production also will start soon after. So going forward, the mission investments on the capital goods will be increasing. Hopefully from 51 crores last year, that is 22, we may have to spend at least 80 crores is what we think in the current year budget. Based upon the new plant commitment from other paint companies other than Asian Paints, it can again be 80 to 100 crores in the next financial year, 23-24. So what all the debts we have reduced during this QIP fund, with the QIP funds, will be reutilized during these 2 years to ramp up capacities.
Sure. And just a follow-up on that, what capacity we are at right now? 41,000, right?
41,000 has gone up, I think. It's we are current total capacity is somewhere around 44 now. 44,500.
Okay. And the utilization rate would be at?
Utilization rate is close to 70% because some of the machines that are just installed won't be added, would not have added much in the last quarter. The majority of the machines have arrived in the last quarter from Jan to March, and some more machines are yet to come. It's an ongoing process because growth is there in all sectors. Surprisingly, even in loops, we have seen 11% growth. Maybe it's because of COVID numbers were more affected in the previous year compared to 21-22. So that's why lubricant numbers also have grown by 11%, which is a very healthy growth.
And last question from my side, on the FMCG part, what percentage would be edible oil and what percentage would be ice cream tax?
Not ice cream, it's a mix of all food products. So out of 43 crores we have clocked in the Q4. 30 crores is Sinwal and 13 crores is edible oil packs. 30 is from Sinwal. That is, we call it Sinwal is food and FMCG other than Q-Pack. Q-Pack, which is edible oil pack, is also a Sinwal pack, but it's for, meant for edible oil and other applications, where the value add is much lower than the food and FMCG Sinwal.
Sure, got it. Thanks a lot, sir, and best wishes for coming quarters.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you share the contribution of IML and non-IML in terms of volumes and revenues for this quarter?
Yeah, they are in line with the previous quarters because IML usage has stagnating around 67% now from 65% previously. Previous year it was 65.3. It is now the current year it is 67.
This is for the full year in terms of revenues?
In terms of revenue, yeah. In terms of tonnage, it is 61%, 63, is it? 63 up from 61 last year. So 61 has become 63.2 to be precise.
Right, right. And sir, how is the Mondelez portfolio shipping up now? Are we, you know...
There is no great growth. I think 3-4% drop is there, but not a major drop. So it is stabilized now.
Right. So approximately what percentage could be that in terms of FMCG?
This is hardly value-wise around 5 crores out of 30 crores what we did. 30 crores. 45
right.
Around
that. Right. And at peak, what was this number?
Out of 45. Hardly 5%.
Okay. And at peak, this was 5 crores our number?
Yeah. It was a peak almost 7-8 crores 3 years ago. You know, 2.38 in the Q4. For the full year, is much more.
Right.
Full
year right.
Is
9 right.
crores.
Got it.
13.8 crores. 13.8 crores. Which touched a peak of 25 crores 3 years ago, 2-3 years. It now remained more or less same level. Last year it was 13.5, now it is 13.8. It is improved by 2%.
Right. And probably if you can give the give some clarity on the 70 to 80 crore kind of capex budget we've set for the next year.
Yeah, we have a very clear investment in IBM and IBM Pharma. With the in the Sultanpur project itself, the investments will be in the tune of 20 crores and about 35 crores on the land and building. Land has been already acquired. Building costs will be to the tune of out of 35 crores, we already spent 5-6 crores. So another 30 crores of investment will go on building. And machinery in the first phase, at least 20 crores to 25 crores will be added. So 55 crores directly goes on to Sultanpur. We have enhancement of Asian Paints capacities at Mysore and Vizag to be done immediately, which are already, machines orders have been placed and they are on the way. That will be to the tune of 8 to 10 crores. And we are doubling our printing, 70% growth in print capacity we are creating with the investment of about 12 crores. All these three are the major ones. And in Kanpur, construction may start and some investments will be made in the Kanpur plant for Berger and Narolac, but not much. This year it may be 5 to 6 crores, but a major amount will be invested in 23-24 Q1 or Q2. Or maybe Q1 itself. So this is our budget. We have about 50 crores for Sultanpur, about 12 to 15 crores at Asian Paints expansion, 12 to 15 crores for the printing and die cutting expansion of IML manufacturing, and a little bit in Kanpur.
Got it. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hitesh Tong from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I need just a few clarification on some numbers. You said like for FMCG, there was a degrowth due to edible oil, and edible oil is nearly 70% of our revenue in FMCG. Is this a right understanding, sir?
No. The total food and FMCG for this year 21-22 is 146 crores. Out of which 38 crores is edible oil. So hardly 25% is edible oil. And the remaining 75%, that is 108 crores, is from thin wall food and FMCG. We differentiate Q-Pack and thin wall in our nomenclature, though they are completely IML. So the value add in Thinball, that is the regular food and FMCG, is much higher than QPAC.
So Thinball and QPAC is largely for oil category only, right?
No, no. Thinball is for food and FMCG. QPAC is mainly oil category, but there are other applications also, detergents, nutrient powders and other products also, cashew nuts. There are also been, these applications are also there for the QPAC. But in terms of value add, the Thinball for food and FMCG is much higher, like say something like almost double that of regular QPAC.
So for FY23, when we see a kind of 20% of overall revenue growth, what kind of volume growth? What kind of volume growth do we see in this segment, sir, in FMCG category?
Yeah, in FMCG food, that is 108 crores. We are confident of hitting at least 150 crores or more, because there are three major products like Mandelis, which is an item which is still giving us 13-14 crores. We have now grabbed three major products. One of the names I can tell you right now is the Kisan Jam, and the other two are also equally strong brands, which already orders have been received, but it's at a very initial stage to announce. So those three brands put together have their projections indicate they are already existing brands. It's not that they are a new brand which need to pick up like Mandelis. These are all existing brands converting from conventional packing to IML packing. So these three commitments themselves are worth about 40 crores per annum. But this year I'm counting on about 30 crores for the 8-9 months of the remaining period of the year, because the development will take next 3 months. So that is a major rise, and at least another 25-30% growth would come from the other segments, which are like ice creams, restaurants, exports, export of Thinball. So from 108 crores, we are anticipating it to cross at least 150 in the next financial year with a good EBITDA margin. So that will be a major contributor again, apart from Asian Paints and Kanpur growth.
Okay. Sir, my other question is from IBM Pharma product category. Sir, what kind of products are we targeting in this category, sir? Is it a kind of bottle or, sir,
Yes. To start with, our idea is to go with the bottle and caps. The caps are simple caps and, again, CRC, chain-resistant caps. So a set of 15 varieties of bottles we have selected, and molds are being made. CRC caps, 6 varieties, 3 plain and 3 CRC will be introduced in the initial phase, and that will be expanded. So all these will be going into production for trial production by October. And then there are stability tests to be conducted by different pharma companies, clearances from some pharma bodies. That all will take at least 6 months. So the initial marketing efforts will start sometime from September, October, once the samples are received from our mold makers and machine makers. And the marketing team is being created. Already one senior guy from Gerresheimer is joining us in July. And we also had picked up quality control persons with a pharma background and also production persons in IBM background. They all joined. A couple of them are joining in June. A couple of them joining in September or July. So by July, our team will be ready, because some OTC products, that name also I will be able to share with you soon. We'll be starting from July. So those products, production, they will supervise initially. And they will be ready to take off the pharma once those machines are installed in October. So all the steps have been taken actively to meet our set deadline.
Okay, so my last question is that what would be our expected capacity for FY23, sir? Overall capacity?
Overall capacity is currently 44,500. I think it will cross beyond 52,000, at least 20-25% rise in capacity we need to create. Though the pharma capacity, which may be in terms of numbers, maybe 1,000 tons only, 1,000 or 1,500 tons, but it may not be getting into use in this current financial year.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from that 1,500 tons of pharma bottles and caps, we'll be crossing at least 51,000-52,000 tons capacity will be created by end of 2023.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the answer, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devan Kulkarni from Merciless Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Lakshman, sir. So, sir, our operating cash flows have reduced from 75 odd crores to 20 crores in FY22. So, can you just explain the reasons behind it?
Sorry, 75 to?
20 crores.
Which one?
Operating cash flow has reduced from 75 crores to 20 crores.
Operating cash flow has reduced.
Yeah.
Because of the capex, you mean to say?
No. Operating cash flow before capex.
Before capex is not reduced. How can it reduce? Am I seeing the same numbers, Ramabu?
Yeah. So, sir, cash generated from operations in FY22 is 2194 lakhs. Last year, this number was 7553 lakhs.
Cash generated last year was, you add back depreciation and...
Yeah. So you can get the number from cash flow statement.
Cash flow statement, is it? Okay, you ask the next... I think it's ready. Cash flow for... year, which is this current year. Net cash flow is 56.5 crores.
Sir, not the net cash flow.
Before the investments. And it was minus 9.6 last year.
So I am talking about operating cash flows. I would say the first sub-bullet. The cash flow number is 2194.34.
219. Can you go down? Okay, 2194. Cash generated from operations, I think something wrong. 21 crores from 75. March debtors have shot up because of the increased value of the revenues. The volume of debtors, if you notice, has gone up by about 21 crores from 32 to, increase in trade receivables, that is debtors. That is a major item, and followed by inventories. Anyway, I will ask Ramabh to send you a detailed question. Can I note down your email ID?
Yes, sir. I have your email ID. I will reach out to you, sir.
Oh, you have Ramabh's email ID. You can send it to him. He will answer.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of follow-up questions. Ola CapEx capacity utilization has always been in the 60 to 70% range. Is that how it will always be going ahead?
Yes, Pulkit. Because in the case of injection molding, I explained in the past, jars and caps, when you utilize the capacities, while the machine capacity has been taken at an average short weight of a machine, jars will be using almost 80 to 90% of the machine capacity, but caps will be using hardly 40 to 50% of the machine capacity. So that is why in injection molding, anything around 70 to 75 is the best anybody can achieve, unless you are selling only jars or only products which are deep and using the entire machine's capacity. So we being a supplier of both jar and cap, you need to underutilize the cap machines. Though they have higher capacity, they are the same machines, similar machines, if not same, which will be underutilized. So overall capacity would be 75 will be most ideal.
And one quick data point, if you could share the volumes of the thin walled for the year.
Yeah. The thin wall volumes, tons you want. Wooden FMCG tonnage is 1575 in the Q4, and for the full year it was 5042. That is inclusive of both edible oil, which has fallen by 24%, but thin wall food and FMC has gone up by 40%.
Right. So out of the 5,042, how much is thin wall, sir?
Thin wall contributes to, in weight terms, 3,077 tons.
3,000. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Jainish Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Can you just help me with the segment-wise EBITDA margins indicative for the year?
See, though we can't share such a fine detail, but definitely the EBITDA margins in the pale segment and even QPAC segment will be much lower than the food and FMCG. While in the pale segment, that is both for paint and lubricants, it will be in the region of 30 to 35 rupees per kg, maybe 30 rupees per kg. And in the QPAC, it is around 35 to 40 rupees per kg. And in the case of food and FMCG, it will be as high as 80 to 120 rupees per kg.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as our last question. And now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Nirmal Bang, and thanks all the analysts who have shown interest to know about our company. I think most probably the pandemic is behind us, or even if it comes back, probably it won't be as pungent as it was. And hopefully we all have a good year ahead. And at Moltec, we are confident that given this, so many new initiatives we have taken up and new products that are coming up with a higher value add, the future is looking brighter. And I thank Nirmal Bang once again and hand it over back to the convener for the closure of the meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.